So, obviously, it's the first Sunday of the new year, and it's amazing to me the things that I hear people say, like, good riddance 2021, it was the worst year ever, and I'm like, did you forget what 2020 was like? I mean, if 2021 was bad, I mean, really, 2020 was even worse. So it's kind of like a reminder how quickly we forget, right? We quickly forget the blessings, but also sometimes we quickly forget how bad things were. In reality, I guess it's all a matter of perspective, right? Now, I don't want to minimize some of the loss of the past year. I mean, some families dealt with some pretty serious loss. So I don't mean to minimize. Those things are serious, and they have a devastating impact on families. But really, it's a matter of perspective, because when it gets right down to it, there is plenty that we have to be thankful for, and we have received an abundance of blessings as a church, as individuals, if you are just open to see them and receive them. And of course, this is the time for New Year's resolutions, all those meaningless things that people say they're going to do, and may or may not have good intentions of doing them. But they're just kind of, most of them are like fluffy stuff, right? Like, I'm just going to lose a few pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, and really at the end of the day, they're not all that significant if we're being honest. And so we're going to talk about four things. They're not resolutions. They're four what I'm calling new commitments for the new year. And I think a lot of times the other things that we commit to or resolutions that we make don't last is because we don't set the proper groundwork, right? So it's like saying, I'm building a house and I'm going to put up the walls before I lay the foundation. That's just silly and crazy because, I mean, the walls aren't going to last, right? And so I think as we head into the new year, there's four things that I really want to look at and talk about and think about. And I think if we can get these four things right, then we don't need to worry about any other resolutions because everything else will just kind of fall into place. And I think the more you talk to people, especially recently, there is a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of angst, a lot of confusion. And I think in a lot of ways, people are just living in fear and in slavery to a lot of things. And it's not the way that God wants us to live or God intends for his people to live. And I think it's because at the end of the day, it has got a lot to do with these four things. And these are at the core of the issue, but we don't oftentimes like to get to the core of the issue. We like to just talk about symptoms and deal with symptoms instead of taking care of the core things. So the first thing that I think that we need to commit to in the new year is we need to commit to ourselves to forget our failures. To forget our failures. This is what it says in Philippians 3:13. And 14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we live our life imprisoned to past failures, we will surely keep ourselves moving. We keep ourselves from moving positively into the future. When we continue to imprison ourselves to our past failures, we can't possibly move forward. Now, if you haven't had any failures in the past year, then I guess this wouldn't apply to you. But I'm pretty sure that if we're being honest, we've all failed at something in some way this past year. You know, and for you and for me, we probably won't see our failures recorded in any history books like maybe a politician would or some famous person would. They won't be there for the world to see. They aren't going to be played out on TV. The things that I've failed at, nobody's going to be showing on TV and raking me under the coals for. But we still have a tendency to etch them on our hearts and on our own minds. Even though nobody else might see them, nobody else might not even be affected by them, but we still have a tendency to kind of etch them in our hearts and in our minds. And of course, failures come in a million different sizes and shapes. Maybe for you, it's a memory of how you failed in a relationship. You made the wrong decisions, said and did the wrong things, and the relationship ended. Some of you who are parents probably know you have failed your children in some ways. I'm sure that if I look back over the past year, I've made a lot of failures as a parent over the past year. I think more than likely many of us know that we have failed ourselves in some ways. We have come up short in the way, in the things that we wanted to do. And all of us should know that we have failed God in some form or fashion over the past year. And but what God's word is saying to us here is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by those failures. And yet there are many who have really just chained themselves to their failures and they can't move forward because of it. And I think at the start of the new year is a good time for us to forgive ourselves for our failures. Stop torturing ourselves for the things that we failed to do, or maybe the things that we did that we shouldn't have done. This is a good time, as we begin the new year, to stop chaining ourselves to our past failures. And it might be a failure that happened this year, or it might be one that happened 5 years ago that you find yourself still strapping yourself to. God is saying here in his word, in this text, that he doesn't want any of us to go through life branding ourselves as a failure. And yet too many people do that. I mean, Jesus paid a pretty cruel price. He died on the cruel cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven. And we are forgiven, but sometimes we fail to forgive ourselves. We receive the gift of forgiveness, but then we don't receive or forgive ourselves. So as we enter into a new year, I'm asking that you commit yourself to forgiving yourself or forgetting past failures. The second thing I think that we need to get right is to give up your grudges. Give up your grudges. Just stop. I want us to listen to these words from the book of Colossians, because in them you'll hear the second challenge that I believe God wants us to rise to if we want to make this year a significant turning point in our lives. And this is what it says in Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. Did you catch that challenge? God, in those words, is challenging us directly and personally to give up the grudge. I don't care if it's a grudge that's been going on for a week, a year, or 10 years, or 20 years. Give it up. That is what he means when he says forgive each other in whatever quarrels you may have against one another. You know, there are people that are living in this tension because they have a grudge that goes back a year, 5 years, 10 years, and they can't seem to give it up. Waiting for the other person to make the first move. Waiting for the other person to make the first phone call. A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes in unforgiving actions. Let me repeat that again. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. I know you know what I'm talking about. Harboring a grudge is about nursing dislike for someone. What you need to know is that grudges are dangerous because they're destructive. Grudges are destructive, and they prevent us from moving forward. They prevent us from receiving the blessings that God wants for us. They prevent us from moving forward in the direction that God has laid out for us. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. Grudges split churches. Grudges destroy everything. And let's be honest enough to admit that one of the problems of the church in general is that the grudges that Christians hold against one another. I'm telling you, there has been more than one church split because of a grudge that one person holds against another, or one segment of people hold against another. I've seen it, and I've lived through it. And it's all because of a grudge that somebody was unwilling to let go of, that at the end of the day was really insignificant in the kingdom of God. But we lose focus of that. We lose sight of the things that matter most, and that is the kingdom of God. But we're so unwilling to let go of those grudges. If you know you're holding a grudge against someone, God says, give it up today. Give it up today. Go make the phone call today. Don't go to bed tonight without giving up the grudge. Grudges are not just destructive, but they're also self-destructive. When you hold a grudge against someone, it will keep your feet anchored to the floor and prevent you from moving forward. Because you know what? A lot of times the person you have the grudge against has already moved forward. A lot of times they don't even know about it. They don't even know there's an issue. They've already moved past it. They moved on. And here you are, got your feet anchored to the floor because you're willing to give it up. And they're on living their best life and have already forgotten about it. We self-destroy ourselves when we harbor those grudges. You have to understand that harboring a grudge against someone will destroy you long before it destroys the one you're holding the grudge against. We think we're doing it because they don't deserve it and they've already moved on. And if not physically destroy you, it certainly will emotionally and spiritually destroy you. It will make you a bitter and resentful person, and it will make your spirit bitter. The book of Job in chapter 21 describes people who have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts, is what it says in Job 21. They live and die with bitter hearts. You don't want to be that way or be the way that you are remembered. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king? And then what did he do in return? He refused to forgive someone else a tiny amount. Remember that? He was forgiven and refused to forgive. Jesus said his unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. And that's exactly what happens to us. Our unforgiving spirit imprisons our spirit and it prevents us from moving forward. Max Lucado makes this interesting comment in one of his books. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prisons. Prisons of anger, prisons of guilt, and prisons of depression. God says to you in his word, don't sentence yourself to imprison. Give up your unforgiving spirit. Give up your grudge. you notice what God is saying here, he isn't asking you to ignore what the person has done to you. He's not saying, well, just ignore what they did to you. He isn't asking you to pretend like it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to just condone it and say, ah, it was okay. He doesn't even ask you to pretend like it didn't matter. What he is simply saying is forgive. Don't pretend that it didn't happen. Don't pretend like it didn't have a huge impact on your life. Don't pretend like what they did was okay. Or don't pretend that it didn't happen. You can still do all those things and still forgive. You don't have to condone it. You don't have to pretend it didn't happen to still forgive the grievance. That means to acknowledge how wrong and painful what was done to you was, but to decide to forgive the person who did the wrong. It's okay to acknowledge how deeply it hurt. It's okay to acknowledge how deeply it may have wounded you. But what it's not okay to do is continue to harbor the grudge. I am absolutely certain that there are people here or listening or watching or who will eventually listen to this message that need to give up a grudge and forgive someone, that they have a grievance they have against someone. There are some that need to forgive the grievance that you have against your parents for what they did or didn't do. Some of you need to forgive your child for what they did or didn't do. Some of you may need to forgive your partner or spouse for physical or emotional abuse. Some might need to give up a grudge that you have against someone at work because of the way they treated you or the way they kind of threw you under the bus when it got right down to it. Some of you need to give up a grudge that stems from an argument that you had with someone. Whatever the case may be, whatever the grudge is, we got to give it up. We got to give it up. God says that the deep-seated resentment you have against that person has to go. And what better time to make a difficult decision to forgive the person than the start of a new year? You see, all these things that we're going to talk about are all things that hold us captive, that keep us imprisoned. And if we don't get these things right, then no matter what we do or commit to, we're not going to move forward. We're not going to be able to move forward if we don't deal with these things. Some will say to God, well, I can't forgive, because what you really mean when you say that is you won't forgive. I can't possibly forgive that person. They hurt me so deeply, I can't possibly forgive that person. Essentially, what you're saying is, I won't forgive that person. I mean, if Christ can forgive us in our own sin, the fact that it costed the pain of the cross, that surely you can give up your grievance that you have with someone else. The question is not if you can, the question is, will you? And then there's a third thing. The third thing that I believe that we need to commit to in the new year is to restoring relationships. Restoring relationships. This is what it says in Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. The important phrase there is, as much as it lieth in you. God, by using that phrase, is personally challenging each and every one of us to do all that we can do in our own power and with God's help to restore our relationships. It says, as much as lieth in you. God, by using that phrase, is personally challenging each one of us to restore any broken relationships that you have. The Lord wants us to do everything we can to restore any relationships that may be broken in our lives. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what other people have done. And they may not well want the relationship restored. Maybe the relationship is broken because of what somebody else did to you, and they don't want the relationship restored. Well, God recognizes that. And this is why he says that it is why he starts by saying, if it's possible. But let's be honest and let's be real that some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done or what we have said or the way that we have acted or the way that we have treated someone. When God's word says there, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it's saying as if you have caused a rift in a relationship, you have a responsibility to do everything you can do to restore it. And there are some listening right now that are saying, ooh, this hurts because I have a relationship that I know is broken. It may have been broken for just a week, or it may have been broken for years, and it may be a spouse, and it may be with a coworker, it may be with a mother, or it may be with a child, or whatever the case may be. Somebody has a broken relationship, and they know that it needs to be restored, and they put it off for far too long. And the Lord is telling us this morning at the beginning of this new year, today is the day to restore the relationship. Today is the day to do everything that you can do to restore the relationship. That everything includes the one thing we will all probably find the most difficult to do, and that's ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we just need to ask for forgiveness. I'm sure that I'm not the only one that finds it hard sometimes to say, I'm sorry. Why are those three words so hard? I am sorry. And why is it so hard to say those three words to the people that we're closest to sometimes? I mean, we hurt somebody at work, we're like, I'm sorry. Man, we hurt our spouse, the one that we love the most, and we're like, it's hard to get the words out. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you forget to hold the door for a stranger, and you realize that you let the door, and you tell them you're sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. We hurt our son or our daughter or mother or father, and it's hard for us to get the words out, I am sorry. Why is it that it's so hard to say I'm sorry to the ones that we love the most? And I wonder how many relationships are not all they should be or could be because someone won't simply say, I was wrong, I am sorry, will you forgive me? It shouldn't be that hard. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? You know those six words, how easily they could restore a relationship with just those six words. I wronged you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Six simple words to restore relationships. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go back to being best friends. I don't think that's what God means. But certainly, it just means we need to make it right. I'm certain that some of us need to ask for forgiveness for some harsh words, cutting remarks that have really wounded someone over the year. Someone has said something to somebody that really cut deeply, that really wounded deeply someone over the years, and they've never asked for forgiveness, and the relationship has been severed ever since. Maybe God is saying to some of us this morning that this year, that this change of year is the right time to restore the relationship that have been ruined by going and sincerely asking for forgiveness, saying I'm sorry for those angry words or those selfish or unthoughtful actions. This is a perfect time to do it. Keith Drury is a writer from the Wesleyan Church, and in one of his books he teaches on the whole subject of restoring relationships when talking about restitution. And this is what he says. Restitution deals with more than property. It is also going back and making things right for hurtful things I've said or done. It's far easier for me to tell some of you the story, or to tell you some story, than to tell you the difficult and painful times I've had to ask my wife, my boys, my boss, my friends, or my secretary to forgive me. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, a quick tongue, or cutting remarks. It's asking forgiveness from a brother you hurt, a mother you caused heartache to, or a former spouse which you hurt. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from an old business partner, neighbor, or roommate. It is admitting my past errors in a relationship and humbly seeking forgiveness from the one I've hurt. And it's harder to make personal restitution than property restitution, is what he says. Make no mistake, it's not easy. And it will be hard to do, but one of the most significant things that you can do in the new year is not set off any new fireworks, is not committing to losing any weight or doing this or doing that, but maybe to admit your past errors in a relationship. Admit your past errors in a relationship and humbly seek forgiveness from the one that you have hurt. Will you rise to the challenge and make a commitment to restore the broken relationships in the new year? And then the fourth and final one that I think that we need to commit to in the new year is this. Commit yourself to turn back on your sin. This took it to a whole new level, didn't I? I read about the American Civil War, an interesting fact that the war was over and the slaves had been set free. Many slaves decided to stay with their former master and continue to do what they were told. They were living as slaves. The Civil War was over, and they decided to stay and live as slaves. They were set free, but they chose to remain slaves. Interesting. Why would you choose to remain a slave once you've been set free? The New Testament says that is exactly how Christians choose to live. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But just like those former slaves, many Christians still choose to obey their old master, sin. We were a slave to sin. God died on the cross to set us free from sin. And yet we choose to still live under the power of sin. Romans 6:12 says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." That is the last challenge that I believe that if you will rise to meet, then it will make this new year truly significant for you. When God says for us to not let sin control the way we live and not give into its lustful desires, he is issuing the challenge to turn our backs on our transgressions and not continue to live in them. Christian writers used to talk about something called besetting sins. You know what a besetting sin is? What they meant by a besetting sin were particular sins that a particular Christian was prone to do over and over and over again, time and time again. Now, we know that Romans 3:23 says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what I'm talking about is this besetting sin, the one that we're guilty of over and over again, that almost like we live in, that we don't want to let go. Many of us end up choosing to give in to our besetting sins and end up living double standard lives. Some listening to this morning have lived this last year constantly defeated by the same old sin. Now, we're going to sin. God's word says that we're going to sin. But I'm talking about this one sin that gets us over and over again. Far too often we learn to live with that sin. That sin that we kind of do or commit over and over again, somehow we learn to live with it and we learn to be okay with it rather than to want to get rid of it. We've almost just kind of committed to ourselves saying, well, you know, God's word says that I'm going to be a sinner anyway, so this is just the one thing that I guess is going to be my pet sin, and I'm just going to have to be okay with it, and I'm just going to learn to live with it because I can't seem to really get rid of it. I can't really seem to get past it. And God will be okay with it because that's why he died on the cross, and he says, I'm going to be a sinner anyway, so I guess I'm just going to have to learn to live with this sin. That is crazy, but I'm afraid that many people have gotten to that point in their lives. Do you have a quick temper that you constantly give into? Well, that's just the way God made me. He made me to be quick-tempered. It's just going to be the one thing that all of you are going to have to deal with, because that's just the way I am. I just sometimes fly off the handle, and so you're just going to have to learn to live with it. Have you learned to live with that critical, judgmental attitude that you know is wrong? You find yourself critical of people all the time, but you've just learned to come to grips with it and say, well, I guess that's just the way that I'm going to be. And God is saying, no, it's time. This is the new year. This is the time to deal with the besetting sins. It's time to stop giving into it. He wants you to stop obeying the old master. Let's be clear about this. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist it if we truly want to. That means we don't have to go into the new year still being defeated by the same old sin. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he gives us the Spirit to overcome the sin if we quit talking ourselves out of it or keep talking ourselves into, well, it's just okay, it's who God created me to be. You can choose to have victory over it, and you can choose to have victory over it today. God says you are no longer a slave to sin, so don't live like you are. Forgiveness for your sin and his power to resist that sin, then this new year can be for you, not just a new era in history, but a new era in our spiritual life. Don't miss the opportunities. And I will close with this. It all boils down to this, really. Will this new year just be another calendar year, changing events for you, or are you willing to rise to the challenge that God has put before us from God's word and make these commitments to make life-changing event? See, anything that you can do or commit to, it isn't going to help if we don't get these things right. If we don't get these four things right, we're going to continue to be chained to our present or chained to our past, and we're not going to be able to move forward. So as we enter into a new year, these are the four things that I'm asking you to commit yourself to. Forget your past failures. Give up your grudges. Restore broken relationships, and turn your back on your transgressions, especially those besetting sins that you have given into and just kind of come to the conclusion that I guess this is just the way it's going to be for me. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be, because the Spirit of God lives in each one of us and gives us the power to forget our failures, to give up our grudges, to restore relationships, and certainly gives us the power to turn our backs toward our sin and move forward. And we can move forward if we get these four things right, and then everything else will fall into place. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, your word's not always easy. It's not always easy to hear. Sometimes it makes us a little uncomfortable. Oftentimes your word asks us or instructs us to do things that we'd really rather not do. Because it's hard. Because it might cause us some discomfort. It might cause us to have to humble ourselves a little bit. It might cause us to have to admit our wrongdoing a little bit. It might mean that we have to swallow our pride a little bit. It might mean giving up something that we've become very comfortable doing. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that you desire us to move forward with the purpose that you have created us for. But Lord, many of people aren't able to do that because they're holding on to past failures. They're holding on to past grudges. They're still living with broken relationships. And they still haven't turned their back on that one sin that's holding them captive because they've just kind of come to the conclusion, I guess that's the way it's going to be. Lord, this morning I am praying for your Spirit to invade our hearts in a most powerful way, Lord, that would empower us to let go of our past failures, to give up our grudges, to restore our relationships, and say enough is enough to the sin in our lives. Lord, give us the power to do that. Give us your Spirit that gives us the power to do that, so that when we enter into this new year, we can do so as a free people, ready to receive the blessing that you have for us, ready to move forward with the purpose that you have laid before us. And Lord, I ask that we are able to do that in the power of your Son's Jesus Christ's name. Amen.